Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You're still busy with love that is worth imitating. That is our short series that we are busy with, a love worth imitating. Because indeed, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love is a love that is worth imitating, especially as we venture into 2022 and where we can really trust the Lord that His love will be reflected in our lives to His glory. Just another quick word, as Brother Nelson was ministering, I was reminded, we are not exempt from suffering and pain. And as he said, we will all face good and bad in this world because we are in this world. We are not from this world, but we are in this world, in the sense that we have been placed here and God has not removed us and take us to heaven, or doesn't take us to heaven the day that He saves us. He leaves us on this earth for a purpose, and our purpose is to glorify Him. But that will not happen without suffering. Suffering is part and parcel of life. And I'm busy with a short series on a Facebook channel that I started some time back. It's called Cancer Comfort, where I specifically try to comfort. I haven't been on it for a while, but now I'm busy with a series specifically on biblical suffering. It comes from a book that I read with regards to suffering, and I've been so blessed that I decided to do a 13-week series on suffering. But it's on Cancer Comfort, so if you have Facebook and you would like to go and look at it, you are, or listen to it, you are more than welcome. Right, with that being said, let's close our eyes in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to You this morning, to call on You, the living, almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. It's such a privilege to call on You in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name through which we can be saved. Such a privilege to call on You, for You are worthy. But it's such a privilege, Father, to open up Your Word, to read Your Word, and to meditate and think about Your Word, and for me to preach Your Word. What a privilege. And it's also a privilege for us to listen, to take to heart, to understand through Your Spirit that enables us to understand and to apply to our lives. It's all because of Christ. So, Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Speak to us this morning. Enable us to understand, to receive, and to apply. And enable me as Your servant to teach Your people, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 4 to 8. And this is where the Apostle Paul actually describes to us what love actually looks like. He says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth and bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then the first three words in verse 8, "Love never fails." Love never fails. And 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love is the love that is worth imitating. That's also the theme of the series of messages that we are busy with at this moment. Now, last week, we looked at love, the first two things about love, and that's love is patient and love is kind. Remember that Paul is actually splitting up love, what love is and what love is not. 9 things about what love is and 8 things of what love is not. And last week we looked at 2 things that love basically is. Love is patient and love is kind. And today we're going to look at the first one of what love is not. Right now, what we need to understand is that God in Christ Jesus, I believe, is the greatest example that we have of what true love is. And it's because God is love. He is the essence of love. His nature is love. And then the love that the Apostle Paul describes here is not a love between a man and a woman. What Paul is describing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love, a sacrificial love. And it gives us a glimpse of God's nature, because God is love. Absolutely amazing passage of Scripture. Now, we've seen last week that God had patience in history. All through history, we can see Him being patient. And I believe that we should imitate His patience. But also, God showed us kindness through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on our behalf. We looked at that last week. And we should likewise show sacrificial love towards our brothers and sisters. Jesus says, "You go and do what I do." We can't die for other people's sins, but we can sacrifice ourselves lovingly for our fellow brothers and sisters within different situations that we find ourselves in. Brothers and sisters, in short, 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love is a love that is worth imitating. Absolutely. So this morning we look at the third characteristic of 1 Corinthians kind of love, the love that is worth imitating, that is love does not envy. Now envy, if we have a basic definition of envy, envy is the desire to have a quality, a possession, or other desirable thing belonging to someone else. That's basically what the definition is of envy. I read about a 15-year-old girl. Her name was Tiana Brown. In the year 2008, September 2008, she became envious before the time, obviously, of her cousin, Shannon Braithwaite. And Tiana was envious, and this is the heartbreaking thing, because of the nice clothes and the nice shoes that Shannon had. She was envious over clothes and shoes. So one day, Tiana and Shannon got into a heated argument, and in a fit of jealous rage, Tiana grabbed a kitchen knife and stabbed it into Shannon's chest 49 times. A 15-year-old girl was driven to murder because of envy. Now, according to the reports, After she killed her cousin, she took her cousin's sneakers, and they found it with her later on when she was arrested. Now, this is an extreme example of where envy can lead if it's left unchecked or uncontrolled. And I believe with all of my heart, the only thing that can actually control envy is the Spirit of God. I remember watching a documentary some time ago of the influx of immigrants into Europe. And in the documentary, they show a few examples of men who had their hands, their fists up in the air, and they were shouting with aggression on their faces. I will never forget the faces of these men. And they were crying, "We want your money!" These money and prosperity hungry immigrants went to Europe because they wanted what the Europeans had. They were not there to work and to earn a decent living. No, they demanded what Europeans had. Obviously not all of them. I'm generalizing. But it was so in my face when I saw that on this documentary. See, many came from poverty-stricken countries, and they went to Europe because they envied the Europeans, and they wanted what the European people had. They had envy in their hearts. In another documentary on the riots in the United States of America some time ago, I saw people openly say, "We don't want what you have. What we want is to take away what you have, for you to be left with nothing." Beloved, I read somewhere that you feel envy when someone else has something that you want to have. A prototypical example is when someone possesses an expensive or exclusive item that you would also like to own, such as a beautiful, expensive car or exclusive car, or a beautiful home, or maybe front row tickets to a sports match or something like that. You see, envy is a deep emotion that has far-reaching consequences. In the case of this young 15-year-old, Tiana, it led to murder. But it started off with envy. I read somewhere that envy starts with discontent with your situation relative to that of another. But unfortunately, it doesn't end there. Envy goes another step further to cast anger or bitterness towards the person in the situation that you desire. You not only feel that you deserve his or her state, but that they don't quite deserve their own state. You cannot be truly happy for the person that you envy, and thus you cannot truly love them as you love yourself. See, beloved, it's not possible for someone who harbors envy in their heart to obey God's moral commands. You remember the Ten Commandments? You remember where we read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." That's God's moral law. And that is eternal. It's not a law just for the Jews. That's a law that God made for everyone. Beloved, a strong longing to have what another has is wrong. It is sin. Because sin is basically a transgression of God's law, isn't it? That's what the scripture teaches. So if you break the law of God, if you covet somebody else's things, it's sin. If you envy somebody else, it's sin. That's the bottom line. And let's be honest with one another. I believe we are all guilty of it, or have been guilty of it, some other time in our lives. I think we are living in a world where we can see envy way that we've never seen it before. Beloved, we cannot love with 1 Corinthians 13 kind of sacrificial love and then harbor envy in our hearts. There is no love where there is envy. Because scripture so beautifully says, the Apostle Paul wrote it down, love does not envy. You see, envy and love cannot be in the same heart. The one has to be removed. Either it's love or it's envy, but they cannot coexist in one heart. Let's take a few moments to look at a few biblical examples of people who were caught up in the grip of envy, because that's what envy does. Envy is like chains that is put around someone, and that person is not free. That person becomes a slave of their bitterness and their anger and their rage and their desires to have what is not theirs. You remember Cain? That's where we find the first murder in the Bible. He killed his own brother because Abel's offering was accepted by God and his was not. But why? Why wasn't Abel's offering accepted by God? It wasn't because Cain didn't kill his brother because, You see, Abel wasn't God's blue-eyed boy. He wasn't God's favorite. That's why God accepted Abel's sacrifice. God accepted Abel's sacrifice because he brought the acceptable sacrifice, the acceptable offering. He brought an animal. God set the example. Remember after Adam and Eve sinned? God was the one who sacrificed a young animal so that he could make clothes and cover up the sin of Adam and Eve. God already showed what an offering should look like. An offering is sacrificial in the sense that there's a covering that needs to take place, and that's what Abel did. He brought an animal as a sacrifice. Blood was shed of an innocent animal. What did Cain do? He brought vegetables. That wasn't acceptable. He wasn't obedient to what God expected. And when God asked Cain where his brother was, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You see what envy does? It led to lies. He lied to God, thinking that God does not know, when in fact God knows everything. You see, envy can lead to murder and a multitude of other sins. We also saw it in the example of Tiana, who killed her cousin. Another example is Rachel. Remember Rachel being envious of her sister Leah? Because Leah could have children and Rachel couldn't. God closed her womb until God opened up her womb. But what we see in the life of Rachel is that Rachel made an idol out of being able to have children. And that idol that was in her just kind of forced her and moved her and drove her to become so envious of her sister. It destroyed the relationship between the two of them. See, because that's what envy does. Envy destroys relationships. Now we know that Rachel died in labor. Now when she was having her second son, Benjamin, she died. But the heartbreaking thing is that she spent most of her adult life envying her sister instead of loving her sister. Because remember what Paul says to us? Love does not envy. So if she had love for her sister, there would be no place for envy. But because she had no love for her sister, her heart was filled with envy. Another example is Joseph's brothers. Scripture shows us that Joseph had a greater share of his father Jacob's affections. It's true. Jacob really loved Joseph. Because remember, he was the oldest son of Rachel. So there was this special place in his heart for Joseph. And his brothers just couldn't handle that. So their hearts were filled with envy, not love towards Joseph, but envy towards their brother, to the point where they sold him into slavery. But that's not all. They deceived their own father. Remember when they brought the cloak to him and they dipped it in blood? They deceived their father. You see where envy goes? See, in their case, envy led to hatred and lies and deceit. They had no love for Joseph because love does not envy. In the New Testament, we read about a man with the name of Simon. This is not Simon Peter. This is Simon. We talk about him as Simon the Sorcerer. Right? We read about him in Acts chapter 8. You can turn there if you want. Acts chapter 8, we're going to read a few verses in Acts chapter 8. Now what Simon did was he used to practice sorcery. And he basically astonished the people of Samaria. He was seen as the power of God, or a power of God. He was a powerful man. Had a lot of influence among the people because he was such a powerful man. Now, Scripture teaches us that Simon became a believer. And he started to follow Philip. And then he saw something that stirred up envy inside of him. And what he saw was the apostles laying hands on people and they would receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon wanted to have that. So what he did was, he offered the apostles money. He wanted to buy the ability to lay hands on people and then for them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 20 to 24, what happened. Listen to this. From verse 20, Acts chapter 8. Listen very carefully to the words of Peter here. This is the Apostle Peter speaking to Simon, who became a believer. I do not believe that Simon was regenerated. I'll tell you now why I don't believe he was regenerated. But he became a believer. He believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But he didn't have saving faith. He wasn't regenerated. Because he harbored something that was so, so bad. And Peter kind of explains it to us. And he says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Remember what Jesus said? You cannot love God and mammon. Now, we can take a little bit further and say you cannot love God and power. You cannot love God and something else. You're going to love the one and hate the other. And this is what was evident in the life of Simon, the sorcerer, the ex-sorcerer. He loved power. He wanted the ability. He wanted to be known by people. He was filled with pride. So Peter says to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. You see that? He believed, which means he was a professing believer, but his heart was not right with God. Verse 22. And here is Peter's advice to Simon. He says, repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see, and listen to this, Peter receiving the ability for a moment to look into the heart of this man, Simon, and to see what was in this man's heart. Listen to what Peter says, what was in the heart of Simon. He says, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. It's as if he's saying, Simon, you have not been set free by the blood of Christ. You have not been cleansed. You have not been delivered from the bondage of sin that you have been, or that you are in. Because if Christ sets you free, you shall be free indeed, but you have not been set free. Verse 24, amazing what Simon says. He doesn't fall on his knees and repents and ask for forgiveness to the Almighty God. No. He doesn't acknowledge his sin. He doesn't acknowledge the wickedness of his heart. He doesn't acknowledge the bitterness that is in him. What does he do? It says, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. Doesn't take personal responsibility. You see, beloved, Simon was under the power and the dominion of covetousness, ambition, pride, hypocrisy, and envy. He desired to do what was only given for the apostles to do. He was not content with who he was. No. He wanted to be important, and therefore he needed the ability to do what the apostles alone could do. Because that's what pride does. That's what an unregenerate heart does, is I want what somebody else has. I'm not content. There's discontent. And we see it in so many people, unfortunately. We see discontent in people's lives. They're not happy with where they are. They want what others have. And they will even steal what somebody else has so that they can have what that person has. But when it comes to love, love does not envy. Remember that love is a fruit of the Spirit? Yeah? It's So those who have the love of God in them, they will be enabled by God, the Spirit, to have envy removed from their hearts and from their lives. It's not supposed to be part of a believer's life. Now, what happened with Simon is that his envy led to bribery, bitterness, and a desire for power. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love does not envy. There are other examples in Scripture of people caught in the grip of envy, such as Jacob, one of the patriarchs. You remember he envied Esau, his brother. Korah envied Moses. King Saul envied David. The older brother who envied his younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son. And even Jesus Christ was envied by the religious leaders. Multiple examples in Scripture of where we find people caught up in the grips of envy. And I believe that all the examples in the Scripture is given to us to teach us that envy is a dangerous sin and we should not allow it in our lives at all. No wonder that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love does not envy, because envy destroys relationships. It leads to more and more sin. It can even end up in murder. See, beloved, God is love. And God is holy. There is no place for the sin of envy with God. Because God is the essence of love. And if God's love has been poured out in our hearts, in our lives, through the Holy Spirit, because it's a fruit of the Spirit, there is no place for envy in our lives. It should not exist. Now, beloved, there's something important that we need to know about God. Why God will not envy, ever. God doesn't have to envy anything that belongs to somebody else. And the basic reason for that is because God is all-sufficient in Himself. God doesn't need anything or anyone outside of Himself for Him to be fully God. God doesn't need anything outside of Himself to be fully satisfied. God doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our tithes and our offerings. He doesn't need our love. He doesn't need our stuff. God is all sufficient in Himself, for He is God. Therefore, God does not envy anything or anyone. Remember? Envy is the desire to have a quality, a possession, or other desirable thing belonging to someone else. God doesn't need anything or anyone other than Himself, because He is an all-sufficient God who has everything because He is God. And beloved, the consequence of the fact that we have God, the all-sufficient God as our God, the one who provides for us, it has implications, major implications. Because if God is all-sufficient and He is the one who provides for us, it means that He will provide everything for us, that we don't have to envy what belongs to someone else. Because we acknowledge God as our provider. We acknowledge that God is our source of everything we need. I don't have to envy. I don't need to envy anything that belongs to anyone else. Just a few verses to tell us how much God doesn't need anything. Psalm 3 verse 8 says that salvation belongs to the Lord. Psalm 22:28 says, "For kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations." Psalm 50 verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, says the Lord, and the cattle on a thousand hills." Deuteronomy 10:14, "Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord our God, also the earth with all that is in it." Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belongs to the Lord our God." And then Revelation chapter 19 verse 1, "After these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God." God doesn't need anything. Everything belongs to Him. And beloved, we belong to Him. He is our provider. He is our source. He is the one that provides in all our needs. Not all our wants, all our needs, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's clear in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 specifically, where Jesus declares that God will provide for His children. We don't have to envy anybody's things. We don't have to seek for anything because God provides. The heathen, the Gentiles, they want to provide for themselves and they are out there trying to provide everything that they need. We don't. We trust in Him. And we can trust Him because He is our provider. You see, believers do not have to envy the temporal happiness and the blessedness of others. We have love as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. I read somewhere that those who have the love of God in them, that's the fruit of the Spirit now, the Holy Spirit in dwelling in us, they rejoice when others are happy, when they receive honor and have all kinds of comforts and luxuries. We rejoice because we see that they have received a gift from God. Whether it's deserving or undeserving, that's got nothing to do with it. We acknowledge God as the source of all things. He is the provider of everything that is good. So if somebody is blessed, I rejoice because I can see God at work. You see where my focus is? My focus is on God, not on what the person has received. I honor Him and I glorify Him because I see He's the provider. I acknowledge Him as the one who is the source of life and the source of everything that we need. He gets the glory. God provides as He pleases. Those who have agape love, God kind of sacrificial love, 1 Corinthians kind of love in them, are always willing that others should be preferred before themselves. That's characteristic of a believer. They're not grieved because others possess greater possessions or have greater portion of earthly, intellectual, or spiritual blessings. They're not grieved by that. They don't envy what somebody else has. They have received from God and they are so content with what they have received that they glorify God in whatever situation they might find themselves in. Because their focus is on God. But what has been happening in the world we live in is the focus have shifted away from God, and even in the church, the focus have shifted away from God and His glory and Him being the provider and the one that does all things and can do all things and that He is all sufficient and that He is the one who provides for us. It has moved away from God to earthly things, temporal things. And what they've done is they have now redefined terms, and they're busy redefining terms all the time. And as they redefine terms, what they are doing is they're redefining sin. Envy is sin. It will always be sin. And love does not envy, beloved. Love does not envy. see believers are content with what God has given them. See, there's a difference between someone who harbors envy in his or her heart and someone who imitates 1 Corinthians kind of love. Because envy shows discontent. Love shows contentment. We read in Luke chapter 3, verse 14, talking about wages. And you know that soldiers throughout all the years has never actually received the greatest of wages. And here soldiers speaking to Christ. And it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 14, likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not imitate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Be content with your wages. What happens in the day and age that we live in? What do? They go on a strike. They toy in the streets. And they will even burn places down because I'm not content. You see, it's got nothing to do with whether I'm being paid enough. It's got nothing to do between the employer and the employee, that the employer is not giving the employee what they are supposed to receive and what is decent wages to be received. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the principle of contentment. Believers should be content because they know that whatever they receive from the hand of God, not the employer. But there's a shift that has taken place in the world we live in. People look at people. They don't look at God. They don't look at God as the source. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content, to be satisfied." Why? Because I'm hungry. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry to the glory of God. If I have a full stomach, I have a full stomach to the glory of God. Whether I have or whether I do not have, it is all to the glory of God. It is about God as the provider. Therefore, I will not envy what I do not have, because I know where my focus is. My focus is on my source. That is the living Almighty God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Once again, the Apostle Paul says, "And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content." And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." What does it mean, beloved? It means that God, as our provider, knows all things and he will never leave us nor forsake us. Whether we have or whether we do not have, God will always be the one who provides in his time, in his way. Whatever he decides to do, he will do it. The question is, to whom do we look? Because envy only rises up in our hearts when we start looking horizontally and not vertically. Oh, may God help us. May God help the church, because we see envy even in the church. Beloved, we do not have to bow to envy. We are content with God's provision in our lives. Envy has no place in our lives. That's why we can imitate 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Love does not envy. Doesn't have to. Because we have the Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as our provider. Amazing. Love does not envy, as Proverbs chapter 14 verse 30 so beautifully puts it. And listen to this. Proverbs 14, 30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You want to see somebody that's rotten inside? You see somebody that's filled with envy. They are rotten to the core, because that's what envy does. Beloved, so I believe with all my heart, let's imitate 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. God is the enabler anyway. Allow Him to live His love through us. Because it's only then that we will be able to know and see in our own lives that love does not envy. 1 Corinthians 13, love, beloved, is a love worth imitating. So may God enable us to go out this building. Well, we can start among one another, but go out this building and live 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Father, that love does not envy, and because you are love and God the Spirit, that you dwell in us. Oh, it's so wonderful to know we don't have to envy, because you are our source. You are our provider. I want to pray for each one of us. Please, Father, will you enable us to be content? Be content with what we have and what we have received from you, from your hand. Help us to focus on you and make sure that our focus and our everything is upon you as the source of everything that we need. I want to pray, Father, if there's anybody that has got envy hidden maybe deep down in the heart, I want to pray that may this be the moment where you bring it to the open. And I pray, Father, that that person will come to a point of confessing it as sin before you and be delivered, so that your love towards fellow brothers and sisters, towards the world, may be lived in and through us. May this year, 2022, be a year in which we imitate your love.